Satan took the form of a serpent and enticed Adam and Eve to question God's goodness and rebel against his one rule. In disobedience, they ate the fruit, and peace unraveled, ushering in sin and death, which still plagues us today. If we are honest, we are very much like Adam and Eve. We all rebel against our Heavenly Father, making our hearts heavy with fear, guilt, and shame. Our bodies are weary with sickness, disease, and death. Earth is afflicted with storms, calamities, and disasters. Even worse, sin has separated us from God, causing a permanent divide, a miserable separation called hell. The fallout of sin has been catastrophic. It's inescapable, with no way to fix it. Leaving us all to wonder, is there any hope? The love that prompted God to create us also prompted him to send a savior who would set everything right again. As centuries passed, God shared exact details of the coming birth, life, death. Everything in the Bible points to this rescue. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to earth as God the Son to fulfill the promise. He was born miraculously, as his mother was a virgin. Just like us, Jesus grew up and experienced life on earth. But unlike us, Jesus never sinned and always obeyed the Father. When Jesus was in his 30s, he began teaching all around Israel, pointing people to God's kingdom and performing many miracles. After a few years, he was wrongly accused and sentenced to an agonizing death on a cross. Jesus lovingly gave up his perfect life as a sacrifice to pay for the sins of mankind. He died a perfect death, taking our place, the innocent for the guilty. But the grave couldn't hold Jesus. 3 days later, God brought Jesus to life again. Jesus defeated sin by dying on the cross, and defeated death by rising from the dead. Today, Jesus sits in God's right hand as King and Judge over all creation. This is the story of rescue God has authored. He invites us, through repentance and faith, to make his story of rescue the one we trust in and live from. When we do, everything changes. And now, what will the future hold? For everyone who trusts in Jesus alone for rescue, God has promised to restore your heart and set you free from sin's hold. Because God is loving, kind, merciful, forgiving, tender-hearted, and true. God has also promised to make all things new. One day, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, forever free from sin. Everything that causes pain and sadness will be gone. God has also promised to be with us forever. The moment you trust in Jesus, your relationship with God is restored because Jesus has closed the divide sin caused. Getting to know this all-loving God starts today and continues forever. For God's story never ends. You can make God's story the foundation of your life even now by admitting your need for God's rescue, asking forgiveness for your sin, trusting in Jesus Christ alone to rescue you, following Jesus in faith from this moment on. This is God's story. Will you make it yours?
Now that story, yes, Dave.
The first part of that, they talked about how the devil was a fallen angel.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in the Bible, is it?
He was the third, probably. I was trying to think whether Lucifer was second, third, angel over.
Where does it say that in the Bible?
Genesis.
Well, it doesn't actually say it, but it mentions in Ezekiel and Isaiah. I'm not sure whether it's Ezekiel 12, Isaiah 24, or it's the other way around, but it's, it talks about Lucifer falling. And so that's how we, that's more the scripture. Now we recognize it in chapter, in Genesis 1, Satan was there. But where he came from, it kind of explains a little bit more.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You can find it in Ezekiel 12 or 24. I'm not sure which one it is, but I have my Bible with me right now. But
it's the second I can find it faster here than when I can in my Bible.
Now that story, while you're doing that, Al, I'm going to go on here. That story there that I just showed you is on a phone app. And I won't show you my phone, but it's hooked up right now. But you can go to the app store and get that story on your phone. And I have even shown that to someone. I've emailed it to people that I know that I'm talking to about it. So there's another way that you could share it. If you don't have this booklet with you, the story, you can do it by the app. Okay, so it's another way of a tool that you can use. You've heard me talk about the four worldview questions that we asked last July in New York, okay? And they're on the back of the storybook, okay? How did it all begin? Okay, what went wrong? Is there any hope? What will the future hold? And I think I know I've told the story in here, and maybe I've told you individually, but my first day out in New York last July, the first person that came up to me, or I approached or whatever, was a 15-year-old boy. And when I asked him this question, how did it all begin, he didn't have a clue. Didn't know why he was there, didn't know anything about God, whatever, didn't have a clue. And I remember going through the storybook with him, and I only got to the second part of the storybook. Okay, I went through the creation part, and then I got into the fall, and that's all the time he would give me.
Have he ever heard of God?
No, that's what I'm saying. How did it all begin? Didn't have a clue. Did not have a clue. Probably spent 20, 25 minutes with him. Got through the second part of that, and then he had to leave. So I got to go. Okay, he's off. Okay? Probably 2 to 3 hours later, because we work in teams of two, okay, in our group. The lady that I was working with, when I spoke to this young guy, 2 to 3 hours later, come up to me and she says, Mark, that boy's back looking for you. That boy's back looking for you. He had come back and saw our group, didn't see me and asked for me. And I had an opportunity to sit down with him and go through this whole book. It took me 50 minutes to talk to him. Not that I'm that slow, but we just talked, okay? And he accepted Christ. Took the book, gave me another piece of literature, and he left. Now, there's someone that, how did it all begin? 15-year-old boy, didn't have a clue, you know, but he accepted Jesus Christ. Okay, so these, what you've heard me say about the four worldview questions in here before, and this is what we use in New York, you know, these four worldview questions. But if you, like again, you can get it on your phone, it works real well. Again, I've shown it, I've sent it to people by email, they're interested. What I'd like to do is, we've gone through this series of each week of a video. And the last page in your book, which I believe is probably 34 in your book, hopefully, but it should be entitled What's Next? Or What's Next? I think it should be rare at the very last. I want to watch this video first, and then we can talk.
By any means, but we do have spread through the gospel ready page. It's a closed page, it's just for people to sign up, but it's a community of believers that will be from across
the world
who will be able to engage online about prayer requests and people that you're praying for, ideas that you tried, questions about how to reach out to a person of the Hindu faith or various faiths. It's a chance for us to come together and glean ideas and pray for one another. So first of all, I would say, please join Spread Truth's Gospel Ready page. I think it can be very edifying for you. Second of all, begin to pray specifically for individuals in your sphere of influence. You probably have 7 or 8 people that are in your world that don't know Christ. Many of them could be your neighbors, maybe it's your co-workers or people within your family. And we all need to pray diligently for them. I was just on a walk last night, and I'm in my neighborhood. It's a great chance to be able to pray. If you're going on a walk, for the houses there, the people that are behind those doors, put it on your prayer list. Have a specific prayer list for by your praying for people who don't know Christ. Second of all, be present. That means you're ready, you're present, ready to share Christ or be a friend to them. Know it's a little odd, some people may think, but I would encourage you right now that if you're in an area of a city park that you can go to, or maybe a college campus, that you go ahead right now, even before you've got a whole lot of practice in, but you go ahead and go out and do those religious worldview questions and engage people. And we call that kind of cold turkey evangelism. But remember what the Apostle Paul did when he was in Athens. The Bible says that he walked into the marketplace and talked to whomever happened to be there. And so in New York City, now we do this every day, and you have to understand that as you walk into a park or knock on the door, that remember, God is the evangelist. He's already gone before you in that situation. And many of people have come to know Christ from an apartment house or on a beach when a group went down and just walked along the beach and they shared Christ. And so be present. Go ahead and get on out there. But maybe in a more natural way, I would suggest that your home be a place of hospitality to bring friends and to bring neighbors in. There's a new book that's just come out by Rosiera Butterfield called The Gospel Has a Front Door Key. And if we're going to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, then our doors have to be open. And I'm excited, having just moved into a new home and in a new state, that I found no one in my neighborhood that's like me there. And so it's an exciting time for Jeannie and myself to be able to be a friend and hopefully be able to share Christ with our neighbors. Then not only praying, being present, but be ready. 1 Peter 3:15 says we need to be able to give an answer to every man for the reason of hope that lies within us with meekness and gentleness. And that shows you the spirit that we're to have, but it also says that we're to be prepared. Now, as you share the story, this big story, there's obviously going to be questions that arise from it. And you may get a question like, "Fall of man, will God so good, why would he allow evil?" Or if you're talking about the rescue, promise made, promise kept, they may ask you, "Why is Jesus the only way?" And so it's going to be important that you're diligent in studying on your own to be able to answer some of these questions. You can't know all the answers, but you should be able to know some of the answers. And so we need to be prepared to go out. And so I challenge you to be ready. And also here at Spread Truth, we do have some media resources that are available to support you. We have a new story film that's for probably teenagers and above that takes you again through this big picture of creation, fall, rescue, restoration. It's on a phone app. It's also on a web app. And the story is in 19 different languages. So if you're engaging someone and maybe they have a relative back in their home country that doesn't speak English, boom, you can send it to them in their language. And so I think a great opportunity for you to reach out to people. And a good first step for some people that before they've ever talked to anybody, if they have a family member, to send them the film and say, "Listen, can you just watch this film? It's a story that changed my life." We also have a children's film that just recently came out called The Storymaker. It's a 7-minute animation that again covers creation, fall, rescue, restoration, and we also have a gospel booklet with that. So our desire, and it's being translated as we speak into 6 different languages, and our desire is to be able to reach children around the world. So these media resources and printed resources are there just to support you to be able to share the big picture of Scripture. There'll be a day when we stand before God and we will give an account for all that we've done. And I trust that you and I trust that I have will have been faithful to God, it's so that He can say to us as we stand before Him, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful over a few things. Now make me Lord over many." Let's go forth in deep humility and be anxious and eager to spread the fame of God in our world.
One more. You've seen this before. No, they wouldn't let me in this, Dave.
Thank you for joining me in preparation.
I don't have any star power, Dave, so they wouldn't let me in it.
The story training will equip you to be able to understand the story learning, but also help you to be able to share that story with others. Now, it's going to be important that you have certain materials with you. First of all, here's the story training guide. You can have this either in print or you may have received it digitally. Also, it would be important for everyone to have a story booklet along with a conversation card and a story bracelet. Now, at the end of each video session, please take time.
Sorry, wrong one. It's not coming up. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry, it's not coming up. Okay. But anyway, with that, as he said there in this page in your book, okay, it's pray. Ask God to show you people in your life. You know, I believe every one of you in this room have heard me tell this story before, that Karen and I have a neighbor that we always, they claim to be atheists. Over the years of living next door to them, they're agnostic. They're not atheists. Okay. His wife passed away. This is 1st of June, probably March time frame. Okay. And I have made it a point, spoke to him a lot before, but I've made it a point to visit him every week since his wife passed away. And every time before I leave him, I would say, "Bob, can I pray with you or pray for you?" Okay. And as he has said before to me, "No, I don't believe in prayer." 2 weeks ago, on a Thursday night, I'm sitting in his living room. I said, "Bob," I'd probably been there probably close to an hour. And I said, "Bob, I probably ought to get going. You know, it's getting to 8 o'clock. I said, "You know, I'd like to pray with you." He let me pray with him. You know, now he hasn't accepted Christ. I haven't shared it with him, this storybook, but I will. And I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be this coming week. I don't know when. But you know what? Again, as we've talked before and as we know, it's not about us. You heard Jerry just say, you know, whoever we speak to, God has already prepared them for you. You know, prepared them for us. The people I'm going to see in New York next month, I don't even know. But God's already is getting them prepared for our conversation. So I just encourage you to be intentional, to be thinking about it, you know, because how many people do we come in contact with every day, every week, you know, every day, every week? Just be intentional. Share Jesus Christ. You know, I've lived beside this neighbor for 26 years, I think Karen and I have figured out. His wife's gone to the hospital. He's gone to the hospital. They've had kids in trouble. And all those years, well, I've said to him, "I'll pray for you." And he has said to me, "Oh, I don't believe in prayer." That hasn't stopped me from praying. but not praying with him. But this opportunity I got 2 weeks ago was to pray with him. Okay? This is a man. They have 3 kids. They have a daughter in California, a daughter in Calumet, or a son in Calumet City, and a son in Bloomington, Illinois. Not one of his 3 kids came back for the mother's funeral.
Not one.
Not one.
So that hatred he has is...
has filtered out, yes. Yes. He told me that night I prayed with him, he told me that the daughter in California that has 2 children, he's never seen his grandkids. Is that sad, guys? How much joy do we get out of seeing our kids? How much joy do we get out of seeing our grandkids? How much joy do we get out of seeing our family, period?
Well, you know? Some of
them. Well, yeah. And that could filter over David to friends, too. There's a certain friends. But the point is, you know, we joke about that a little bit with a little levity, but you know where my point about that, don't you?
Yes.
The sadness of that. There's a man that is sad, my neighbor. You know. So I encourage you by saying there are people that want to hear about Jesus. You heard it in our first video. You can go back to your first chapter. 78% of unchurched people are willing to hear about Jesus Christ. 48% claim they've never heard about Jesus. Anybody share Jesus Christ with them? We have the opportunity, guys. The door's open. And I've told you before, in my experience last summer in New York, okay, I didn't have one person that was obnoxious to me. I had people that said, no, I'm not interested, and they'd walk on, but had nobody, you know. I thought I had one that last day on that Friday when that Muslim got in my face. But you know what? It's just as I talked to him, you know, he settled down, you know. To the point, no, he didn't accept Jesus, but he took a Bible. He took the storybook. Here's a guy, when I started, told me he had the Quran, read the Quran, understood the Quran. And when I got to talking to him, he had never read the Quran. He didn't understand what it was. It was like, and then when I said, well, if I gave you the Bible, would you take it and read it? Yeah. Which I thought was interesting. You know, 30 minutes ago or 40 minutes ago when I started this conversation, he was so mad at me. He was in my face, you know. And he was a guy that wound up laying down on the ground on his belly. I thought he was, God forbid, I thought he was having a stroke or a heart attack. I laid down on the ground with him. And finally, he started getting back up. And he said, no, he goes, I just got so exasperated with you. I'm thinking, you lay flat on the ground, face down on the ground, here's that straight with me. He goes, but the point is, when he got back up, we said talking about Jesus, and I gave him that Bible. He took it. Now, you know, do I know if he read it? I don't know. Okay? But, you know, because I just remember when I asked him, do you know where it all began? He got right up in my face. How do you think you know you're such an expert? I said, well, no, I'm not an expert, but I know the one who is who can give hope and salvation and peace to you. And for the first 5 or 6 minutes, I would say, man, he was like right here. But you know what? So anyway, you had your hand up, Dave.
You approached him, or did he approach you?
I approached him.
Did you have a little trepidation? He was dressed.
I would have to say I'm always just a little apprehensive, but again, I just remember that, you know, Jesus has gone before me. And, I mean, have I come back in the last year and had people around here that I approached and said no? Yes. But I tell you guys, seriously, I have had no one be obnoxious to me when I've approached them about Jesus, you know. But, you know, I can't say that can't happen and doesn't happen. You know, because we live in a hostile world. We live in a world that is always in turmoil and mean. But what's the Bible say about our hearts? Desperately wicked? Who can know it? You know, so Alan, you were going to say something. You had your hand up.
I was in a plane ride back from Ecuador one time, and the trip from, I think it was from Miami, going to Chicago, a couple came in and sat down by me, and, you know, three seats, I was on the aisle, and they were on the inside, and I said something to them about, you know, how are you, and talked to them a little bit, and it came up, and I said, you know,